The main verse that we have been talking about, and I want to just remind you and read it to you again so it's in your mind as we start going through this. In Exodus 33 and verse number 12, it says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." God's the one that said, you know, I've found grace in your sight there. "Now, therefore," Moses says, "I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee." And this really prompted me on the message the other week about knowing God and that personal relationship. But he goes on, he says, "That I may find grace in thy sight." And then he turns his direction to Israel. He says, "And consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And we talked about that presence of God, and that is where God's grace is. And continuing in that thought and that teaching of the grace of God, so many times I've heard messages and heard preachers preach on the grace of God, and they hone in on one little thing, and then somebody else comes and they'll preach a message on the grace of God, and it's over here. And I think it confuses people a little bit about what the grace of God actually is and does. And that's why I want to continue on that thought. And remember, the last thing we said last week, you can only run God's race when you have God's grace. You can only run God's race when you have God's grace. Without God's presence, you have no grace. And without grace, you're on your own, son. And it'll shipwreck you. Now, we always go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 when we talk about faith promise and giving and all of that. And that's good, because that's what chapter 8 and chapter 20, or 9 is talking about. But there's much more that I think we can learn in there, especially about this matter of grace. And I think we read over it so fast that we really don't see what it says. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, it said, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Now, what does that teach me? God's grace has no limit. Have you ever... I know all of us have at one time or another, and in several different areas, and somebody said, "Can you do this?" And you said, "I can't do that." You ever had your kids tell you that? "Well, I can't do that." Well, I think we all have. Now remember, the presence of God brings the grace of God, okay? And when you have the grace of God, there are no limits. Absolutely no limits. And we're going to focus in on this a little bit. Notice he starts off that verse, "And God." Israel keeps forgetting God. Brother Dennis might bring that out a little bit in when he preaches this evening. We forget God, who we're dealing with. Over and over, he talks about himself and emphasizes himself and whose God he is and all of this. But he starts this off, and God is what? What's your Bible say? God is able. So my question is, what abilities does your God have? The Bible says God is able. So the God of the Bible, if I have the God of the Bible, my God is able. What is it that we need? We need grace. God is able, and watch what he says, to make all grace abound toward you. Grace for living, grace for problems, grace for work, grace for marriage, you name it. God's grace, God is able to make that grace abound towards you. Now, notice he says that ye always, that's talking about me. Okay? That's talking about you, if you're saved. God says, I'm able to make all grace, no matter what grace you need, no matter what the situation is, all grace. And I'll show you later, there are many different kinds of grace. All grace will abound towards you. The term abound is to exceed. It is to go beyond. In other words, God's grace that he is able to give you will go, it'll be more grace than you need. It will abound towards you. There's never a time when God's grace runs short, when God's grace is unavailable, or when God's grace is not enough. That's why he says, and ye always. There's not a time when it's not there. He says, having all sufficiency. The term, that abundant, that complete, the plenty, the enough. God says, I will give you enough for whatever situation, whatever problems, whatever difficulty comes in your life. He says, in all things, everything that we need, in every area of our life. I don't care what trial, I don't care what tribulation, what difficulty, and we all have them. All of us, whether family situations, whether health situations, whether financial, whether just living, whether the boss, whether the co-worker, whether the husband or the wife or the kids. He says, everything, all sufficiency in all things, everything we need in every area of our life may abound. That excess, that exceeding. Remember, he says exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's God's grace. He says in every good work. Every good work. It applies to everything. The purpose of grace is to give us what we need to do right. To give us enough to serve God, to serve the Lord in whatever aspect that he allows us or gives us opportunity to do. Is it good? If what you're doing is good, then God's grace is there. Somebody says, can you teach class? If I said, can you teach Sunday school next Sunday, men? Don't tell me I can't. because God's grace is there. You say, well, I won't sound like Billy Graham. You're not supposed to sound like Billy Graham. God didn't name you Billy Graham, and God didn't call you to be Billy Graham. You don't look like Billy Graham. You don't sound like him. And his look at a passage is going to be different than yours. God didn't call you to be somebody else. So when God asks you to teach something, you don't have to be somebody else. That was one of the greatest days in my life when, I saved under Brother Eddie Woodfield. And we had a marble place and banister here, and then on the other side of the steps we had a marble. And I remember he'd come up there and he'd get right in where the steps go, and he'd tap his fingers on the side of both of them when he's making a point and different things. And he would come in the front of the pulpit and he'd make, I could mock him, I could mimic him, I could tell the jokes that he does, everything. I mean, I wanted to be like Eddie Woodfield. And one day God said, look, I didn't call you to be Eddie Woodfield. I called you to be Brian Stances. I don't have to impress my son. I don't have to impress Dr. Chappell. I don't have to impress Bob Jones or Clarence Sexton or any of these highfalutin preachers. I don't have to impress you. All I have to do is impress him. So that means I got to be what he made and who he made. And if he says, I want you to go to the mission field, I can go. Why? Because it's not about me. It's not me. It's what he wants. And he says, I'll give you the grace to do it. If somebody asks you to pray in front of the congregation, don't worry about it. Just pray. You talk to God. That's all you do. What do you ask me to do? Pray for the offering. God, bless this offering. Amen. You don't have to pray around the world. Nothing wrong with that. But you don't have to do it. You pray for the offering. I remember a guy, one of the evangelists, come over, and boy, I mean, this guy was introducing him at our table, and this is so-and-so evangelist, and he's preached here, and he's done this, and all around the world, and ABC, would you lead us to the throne of grace? The guy was really trying to impress him. Would you lead us to the throne of grace? And old Doug bowed his head. Thank you for the food. Amen. And everybody else was, he's done. What are we there for? We're not there to impress anybody. We're there to thank God for the food. We're praying to people instead of him. And God says, if I ask you to do that, you can do it. Why? Because I'll give you the grace to do it. Somebody asks you to give a little devotion. You say, oh, I can't do that. Is your God not able? If your God is able to make all grace abound unto you in all things and for every situation, then yes, you can. Yes, we can. We limit God, and God's grace has no limit. Oh, I can't go out and talk to people about the Lord. Do you talk to me? Do you talk to your husband? Do you talk to your wife? Do you talk to people in church? Well, yeah. Then you can talk to other people. God will give you the grace to do that. It's not that God can't, it's that we won't. We're disobedient to God. And God says, I'm giving you that grace. It is there. All you have to do is appropriate it. So we need to ask ourselves, is what I'm doing good? And if what I'm doing is good, he said, all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Everyone, can you tell me one good work that God's not going to give you his grace for? Anyone? Anything? Not one. So God, we can, when Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who has strengthened me, he was talking about I could either be rich and live right, or I can be poor and be poverty stricken and I can still live right. Why? It's because of the grace of God. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That comes from the grace of God. Every good work. God is able. Amen? All grace. There's not one area, not one type of grace that he will not or has not given you. He said, always, there's not a time that he falls short. There's not a time when he won't give you that grace. He will give you that grace always. And it's all sufficient. All sufficiency. Every bit that you need. He's not going to fall short. He's not going to give you half a dose. You always heard people say, well, this guy got saved. He got a full dose of salvation. Well, didn't you? There is no half dose of salvation. Either you're saved or not. And the same thing with God's grace. All sufficiency in all things. Everything, everything, everything. To every good work. So if what God's wanting us to do is good, which it is, he never tells us to sin. If what God's wanting us to do, and somebody might ask you to do something and say, okay, if that's what God wants me to do, I can do it. Why? Because God said, I'd give you that grace for all, every good work. Every time. Now, God's grace has no limit. I like just thinking about some of the grace, the saving grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you what? Saved through faith. Salvation, we call it saving grace. Justifying grace, for you to stand before God justified, it takes the grace of God. That's why he says in Romans 3, 24, being justified freely by his grace. You could not be justified without God's grace. You could not be saved without God's grace. So if God's grace is enough to save you and God's grace is enough to justify you in the sight of God, no matter what you've done, is God's grace not powerful enough to walk with you in daily life? Sure it is. Why? Because God is able. Amen? There's sanctifying grace. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, that same grace from that same God that brings salvation, hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. This is called sanctifying grace. That same grace of God instructs, leads, teaches, guides us. And what's he say? Teaching us, teaching what? That denying ungodliness. He said that we live soberly. That's called sanctification, holiness. He'll give us the grace to do what pleases him, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. We call that separation or sanctification. He teaches us this through his grace. We have sustaining grace. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Why? For my strength is made perfect in weakness. I can't, but he can. That sustaining grace. God just doesn't give you a little grace and get you over this hurdle and then goes to the South 40 and forgets all about you. He is with you every place, every day, wherever you're at, doing whatever you're doing. He's there. His grace is there, and he will sustain you. He said, my grace is sufficient. Doesn't matter, you're weak. But he said, I'm strong. God is able. Now, he not only said that, but he said, but by the grace, the serving grace, well, I call this serving grace, 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Paul says, yes, God wanted me to do something. So he said, it's because of the grace of God, first of all, that he even asked me to do anything. What a privilege to serve God, amen? The God that created the heavens and the earth wants to use you. Not just a preacher. God wants to use you. He said, but the grace of God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Look, don't try to make yourself taller or shorter or, you know, some of us may want to lose a little of this, but that's a different story. But don't try to be somebody you're not. Don't try to match yourself up with somebody else and say, well, I don't have as much Bible knowledge as they do. That doesn't make any difference. Well, they've been saved a long time. That's all right. You've been saved this amount of time. Don't worry about all these things. God says, you are what you are by the grace of God. Whether you've got a super intellect, there's some people I just wish I could have the mind that they've got and the insight. Some people, I think, man, these guys are so physically in shape and everything, I really wish I could. God didn't make me that person. God made me me, and he gave me his grace, and he says, in his grace, which was bestowed upon me, okay, not on somebody else, forget what grace God gave Peter or Matthew or any of those guys, he said, think about the grace that God has given you. The grace which was bestowed on me was not in vain. That means wasted, empty. That grace that God gave you can be wasted. Can you imagine standing before God and God said, I gave my grace to you, but I wasted my grace on you. God gave you the grace. You just wouldn't accept it. And that's why we frustrate, and that's why we fall, and that's why we fear all of this. He says, but I labored. That's why I call it serving grace. He said, I labored more abundantly than they all. What caused Paul to work? What caused Paul to serve God? He said it was his grace. He said, yet not I. Wasn't me. Wasn't that I just had great work ethics. It wasn't that I was just super intelligent, that I just figured it all out. He said, no. He said, the grace of God which was with me. That's what caused me to do what I did. That's what motivated me to do what I do. That's what causes me to get up and read my Bible. That's what causes me to go tell people about Jesus. That's what caused him to go to another country. That's what caused him to confront the religious leaders. That's what caused him to live every day. The grace of God, that serving grace, and every one of us has it. Why are people going to hell in all these countries? Because nobody's going to tell them. You think really that God wants all those people to die and go to hell? I don't. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish. So I believe God's calling people to missions. I just don't think they're answering the phone. They say, well, I can't do this. No, yes, you could. Yes, you could. We have to learn that whatever God tells us to do, we need to follow. We need to do that. When they told me, one asked me if I'd teach in the Bible college and take the mission department there. I said, are you out of your mind? I can't do that. God says, yes, you can. They come to me and said, you're going to teach a class. Okay, great. On missions? Yeah. I'm ready. They said, it's called anthropology. I had to look it up in the dictionary. I'm serious as a heart attack. I had no clue what cultural anthropology was. Ended up being one of the best classes. Look, God says you can. And God says that serving grace, every one of us has been given it. Don't waste God's grace. Ministering grace. Romans 12:6, having then the gifts. These are gifts that God gives, differing according to the grace that is given to us. Every person is given gifts of God. Some one, some more. But every person has been given gifts of God. I don't know what yours is. I know what mine is. I've searched this out. I've asked God. I've tried to follow this thing of the gifts and things like that. He said it's differing. My gift is going to be different than your gift. Some people have the gift of praying. I mean, they're just prayer warriors. I believe my wife is one of those. She puts me to shame on prayer. Witnessing. Oh, there are some people. I sent a message to Dr. Chappell this morning. Just told him, I want you to know I pray for you all the time. He said, thank you so much. It means a lot. That man is a soul winner. I mean, he it's like pulling a rabbit out of the hat. Somehow he is able to converse with people in such a way that he just able to lead them to Christ. Sometimes I give every verse that I can, I give every illustration I can, I try my best and I don't see that result. That's fine. I'm obeying the Lord. I'm doing what God told me to do. I don't have to worry about the results. That's up to him. But God has given some people that grace. Administration. Man, our brother Joel, he is an administrator. That's one of the reasons the pastor asked him to become his associate pastor. He is a tremendous administrator. I mean, he can organize and get things, and he's got charts, and he's got things like that. And I just say, okay, thank you. That's not my forte, you know. Teaching, some people can teach. Some people not so good, but they can still, we can all do these things, but God's given some people gifts. What is your gift? God says, I'll give you the grace to minister in that area if you just will do it. Accept God's grace. There's building grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. I believe God's given me that gift. I can go into a country, I can go into a village, I can go into an area, and I can establish a church. I can build that church. I can organize and get that thing going. As far as building it up, I can only go so far. Then they need somebody that has a pastor's heart that can really take it from there and build that solid solid New Testament Baptist church. But that grace of God, that master builder, that God says it's according to the grace of God, that's building grace. There are some people, if we're going to have, if we can put something out there, let's do this. And everybody says, yeah, let's do it. Okay, who's going to lead it? Everybody sits on their thumb. Why? They're not master builders. But somebody, you watch, will take the initiative. Oh, Josh Newsom. Wasn't that a fun time out there? How many of you got to go to that out there, that movie on the grounds or whatever they call it, you know? Oh, that was a blast. Fellowshipping with everybody, watching a good Christian movie out there under the stars and kind of an amphitheater type thing out there in the yard. It was great. And he, you can tell he was a spiritual man. He had the trailer hooked to a John Deere tractor. Amen. But he took the reins and he went with it. The same thing with the security team. Now, a lot of folks want to be on the security team, and that's good, but somebody, and I know who, grabbed the horns and started taking it. What? They're master builders. That grace, that building grace, the speaking grace, Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with what? Grace. You ever heard somebody say, well, I just have to speak my mind. No, shut up. You're better off with your mouth closed. You don't have to speak your mind. Well, no, I just have to say this about somebody. No, you don't have to say that about somebody. You're just wanting everybody to think that you're better than them, and don't be cutting them down. You don't have to speak your mind. The fool speaketh his whole mind. God says he will give us speaking grace. Let your speech be always with grace. God gives us that grace for our speech. We must watch our mouth. And he said, chapters on the tongue throughout the scriptures. Why? Because it's that burning fire. And it causes more trouble in churches and families and all this. Somebody had to speak their mind. No, that's not it. Speak with grace, giving grace. In this chapter 8 and chapter 9 there in 2 Corinthians talks about that grace. See that you abound in this grace also. Giving is a grace. Listen, how in the world did this church, when we started out, only give about $12,000 a year, and all of a sudden, just a few years later, we're giving about, how much, $140,000 close or something? God has given his grace to people in this church. Nobody's rich. But because they've accepted the grace of God, God is giving us the grace. It's not by our abilities, not our super financial expertise or anything in any area, but it's simply that God, we're accepting the grace. God says, give it, I'll give it. And we're seeing the gospel go all around the world in a marvelous, marvelous way. Giving grace, glorifying grace. 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, after you have suffered a while, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Whatever it is, do all to the glory of God. If it's suffering, glorify God. I was going to ask prayer the other night on a Wednesday night for a co-worker of mine, a professor, dear friend out there in California at Lancaster. He just got back, what was it, on a Friday, I think? He got back on a Friday from one of the, you know, the singing groups that they come and he preaches and stuff. He's been doing it for 30 years. But he just got back on Friday. Wasn't feeling good. They took him to the hospital, thought maybe he's having a stroke or something. Found on Monday, I think, they found that he had a brain tumor and everything. And we buried him Tuesday. On his deathbed, witnessing, just before he died, witnessing to the nurses about Jesus Christ. Glorifying grace. No matter what happens in our life, whatever the situation, don't fear. Praise God. Glorify Him. Is it easy? No. We're human beings. But God says, I'll give you my glorifying grace so that you, even while you're suffering, He said, I can make you perfect. I can establish you. I can strengthen you. I can settle you. Toby was ready. And Toby's mind and mindset was on God and getting somebody to Jesus Christ. And the next moment, he's standing with him. Witnessing grace, Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, and with great power and gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. God gives us his grace for witnessing. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. That Spirit of God, that grace that God gives us, he gives us that power. The witnessing grace, growing grace. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. His grace is able to build us, to help us to grow. Growing grace. It always makes me wonder when I see people that have been saved 30 years and they're still a babe in Christ. They say they're saved, but they haven't grown at all. We need to check these things. God says, I'll give you that grace for growing. Accept it. Learn. Grow. I'm excited. We just announced just one time the mission class, and it's free. I'm teaching missions. I want to take every opportunity while I'm still on this earth to promote missions and to teach people missions and to influence people. And we're going to have a whole class, whole big classroom, I think. For I had some others come up today and say, hey, I want to be in that class and everything. And it's really an exciting time. Growing grace. Take every opportunity God gives you to grow. Growing grace. That's why everybody in this church ought to be in Sunday school. Why? It's an opportunity to grow, to learn, to become more like Jesus Christ in our life, to be conformed to his image. And dying grace. You say, dying grace? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, the purpose, the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. It was the grace of God that put Jesus on the cross. God's grace was there with his son hanging on that cross. God's grace is going to be there. I remember when in a Roman earth, John 21, talking about Peter and John, and they're conversing, and you know, lovest thou me, and all this. And he said, don't worry about this other guy, because he will glorify me in his death. when it comes to that point, we should glorify God. We should have the grace. We should accept the grace of God that man, what are you going to do? Threaten me with heaven? I get to go be with Jesus. Amen. Now, do I want to go? I'm not cutting in line. I have no plans of doing that. I love my wife. I don't want to leave her. I don't want to leave my kids, my grandkids. I don't want to leave you guys, this church. But there's a time coming when we're going to go. And we need to be ready. And when that comes to that time, we don't have to worry about it. God says, I'll give you his grace. I'll give you grace for dying. I'll give you grace for living. I'll give you grace for serving. I'll give you grace for ministering. I'll give you grace. All of these things. It's not just one thing. They're not separate graces. They're distinct ways that God's grace works in the believer's life. God's grace has no limit. Can you think of one thing, one area where God's grace is limited? None. Not one. So what good thing can you do? Or what good thing can you not do? All that is an excuse, because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I love this song, Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord. Grace that exceeds all our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, where there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace. He's able. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. Folks, there's nothing that we cannot do. We're the ones that limit God. God wants to do marvelous things through us, in us, to us, with us. It is not God that's lacking, because God is able. I want you to read that verse with me before we close again. If I can get back to where I'm supposed to go here. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. We will exceed in every good work. That's why he said in Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh in the counsel of the, or walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. God's going to bless. God's going to prosper. But it comes through the grace of God, and the grace of God comes through the presence of God. Do you have that personal relationship with God and accepting that grace? Father in heaven, thank you for your love to us. Thank you for the grace of God that just exceeds our imagination and expectations. God, I pray that you'll bless. In the hour to follow, be with Brother Joel as he preaches. Lord, fill him with thy spirit. And Lord, help us to have open hearts, receiving the grace that we might learn, that we might grow, and that we might be more like thee. Lord, if one's here this morning in the main service without Christ, that you would save that person this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.